I mean, you've got your bulletin this morning. Wave it at me. Let me see. You got it. All right. Pull that little blue thing out of it. We're going to be filling in this morning. Are you glad you're here? Oh, well, the first service was really exciting. No, it's all good. It's good. It's interesting when we change back to these two services, we change, kind of changes everything up for us. How many love change? Put up your hand. Yeah. No, you don't. No, you don't. We just live with it, right? All right. Today we want to start a new series called How to Handle the Seasons of Life. And some of you are in a different season than others, but I know you're in a season. And I'm reminded when I think of growing up in the seasons of life that one of the parts in my spiritual journey was I read a book by Chuck Swindoll called, I think it was called Growing in the Seasons of Life, years and years and years ago. Remember, one of the chapters he talked about your devotional life that really actually liberated me. And what he said was, he said, don't expect every time you read the Word of God that you're going to be like a springtime or a summer season in your walk with God. I mean, I've had times when I've just read like one line, and it's like, wow, that's really cool, and this is how it applies to my life. And there are times where I've read chapters and went, wow, I didn't get a thing. How many of you have ever had that experience? None of you? All right, some of you. All right. And what he said to me is, when I was reading this, he said, like, just give yourself some space. Just understand that you're going to go through seasons in your spiritual life where sometimes it's like winter, sometimes it's like spring, sometimes it's like summer, and sometimes it's like fall. And that really gave me permission to be okay with wherever I was at. Now, I don't know who that's for this morning. It might even be for you today. But God created the earth, and when he did, he established seasons of weather. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 said, as long as the earth remains, there will be springtime and harvest, cold and heat and winter and summer and day and night. And he also established seasons of human activity, like seasons of life, relationally, emotionally, spiritually, physical seasons of life. I don't even, some of you maybe even need to keep a little emotional journal. And what I mean by that is many times we don't realize that our own year goes through a spiritual journey. Like we have seasons of our emotions where we're up, we have seasons in our emotions when we're down. And if we don't keep track of that, we kind of go, well, why am I so blue this time of year? Well, there could be a reason, or it could be just the season. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Or as it says in the New Century Version, everything on earth has its special season. How many love your green thumbs? You can make everything in your lawn and in your garden just absolutely look perfect. Put up your hand. Okay, look for these people. I have a tendency to kill things. You know, even in your lawn, there's times where there's a season to put on the right fertilizer and the season when they don't. You're not supposed to put fertilizer on, right? There's a season to prune your bushes. And there's a season when you shouldn't prune the bushes, because if you prune the bushes at that season, guess what they do? They die. I've got evidence of that this year. Okay. You have to change for the seasons for things to grow. You have to change. You have to understand. You have to learn about those things. And it's no different in our relationship with God, too. I want to give you this morning very quickly five facts about the seasons of life. Number one, they are beyond your control. You're moving along and life is good, and then all of a sudden, it gets interrupted. There's a season of grief in life. There are times of illness. There's times where your parents, and then you have kids, and then they become teenagers. And then you understand, as one of my pastor friends said, anybody that understands purgatory has been to a junior high camp. Now don't write me. I don't believe in purgatory, but it's just like hell on earth, okay? And there's a time where you have great loss when the kids leave. Waiting is a season of life. Why do we have to wait so much? because life is out of our control. And if you could control them, you wouldn't have to wait, right? Have you ever noticed that some seasons go so quickly and some drag on? Like winter drags on. Summer goes like that. School season is great. Summer season when the kids are home drags on. The greatest day of the year is the first day of school. So who determines the seasons? Look what it says in Daniel chapter 2. God controls the times and the season. He makes and he unmakes kings. He sets them up and he takes them down. Do you believe he's in control of those in authority over us? Do you believe that he's in control of what's happening with our prime minister's office and our premier's office? Are you praying that way? Do you believe he's in control of Trump? Absolutely he's in control. We just think we're in control. We've talked about that before, that we live under the illusion that we're in control when we're really not. Number two, seasons of life are often very confusing. Have you ever had an experience happen to you and you sit back and scratch your head and go, man, why did that happen? You see, understanding usually follows the experience rather than precedes it. You see, when we go to school, we prepare for the test, then we take the test. When we get into real life as an adult, what happens? The test comes first, and then we study for it. Is that true? Hindsight is always 20/20, but there are some things you will never know the reason why. And God is seeking to teach you and I how to walk by faith. And some things we will never know about until we get to heaven. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. God does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he's doing. You see, if we could understand, if I could understand and you could understand what God is doing, then we wouldn't be humans, we would be God. And guess what? We're not. I love the verse, be still and know that I'm God. In a time of my own personal prayer or devotional life, I remember God saying, as I was writing it out in my journal, write down these words, and you are not. Number three, God has a purpose for each season. The lonely seasons, the sad seasons, the waiting seasons, the seasons of grace and grief all have divine purposes in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, in your notes, I want you to see this. Pull this up with me quickly. We know that all things happen to us is working for our good if, will you circle the word if? If we love God and are fitting into his plans. You see, this promise is not for everybody. Everything does not work together for everybody in the world. It's for only those who love God and are fitting into his plans. If you are a believer in Christ, there is nothing that comes into your life that has not first come through the hands of the Heavenly Father. He's given it permission to come into your life. There are no chances in your life. There are no accidents in your life when you're a believer. God has an appointed time for everything in your life. Even the bad times, Bob. Yep. Even the bad times. Don't misunderstand me. God does not plan the bad things in your lives. He doesn't have to. We bring them on ourselves. The bad time in your life may be because of wrong decisions that you made. And they may have happened because other people make bad decisions and you're the innocent victim of those. God's not the author of evil. But he does have a purpose that he can draw good out of each and every event into your in your life. That means that every single event, folks, no matter how dark, no matter how shameful, no matter how bad, no matter how guilty, no matter how bitter you feel about it, God can bring good out of it. He can work for good. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news this morning? Perhaps I should be preaching to a different church this morning. Isn't that good news? Okay. Number four. I'm just teasing you. The seasons include both good and bad times. Aren't you glad you came? Life is full of contrast, right? We have up and we have left and we have hot and we have far and life's full of contrast. We have mountains and we have valleys. We have success and we have failures. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 2 to 8, he says, there is a time to, and he lists 28 different things here. 28 different life experiences. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to laugh, and there's a time to cry. And there's a time to find, and there's a time to lose. Now, that's a big problem in our lives, because sometimes we don't know whether we should hold on to things or let them go. Your dreams, your relationships. There's a time to keep and there's a time to throw away. Oh, circle that one. That's a good one for your garage or your basement. Here's what I know. Most hoarders marry pitchers. Did you get that? Hoarders don't go away on a retreat and leave a pitcher home all by themselves all weekend. You'll go back home into an empty garage or empty basement. But there's a time to throw away. And if you're in doubt, ask the pitcher. They'll help you throw it away. There's a time to hug and there's a time not to hug. In Hebrew it says there's a time for sex and there's a time not for sex. There's a time to speak up and a time to be quiet. Oh, if we'd only get that one right. There's a time to love and a time to hate, and I often get those two mixed up all the time, don't we? Life is a combination of contrasting seasons, all sunshine and no rain, and all you have is a desert. If you are following God's will, then everything that comes into your life has meaning and has purpose. Now, for those of you that are in my age group, do you remember the song Ray Stevens used to sing called Everything is Beautiful in Its Own Way? How many remember that? Google it later, kids. But he lied. It's not true. Everything is not beautiful. Cancer is not beautiful. Abuse is not beautiful. War is not beautiful. Everything is not beautiful in its own way. He misquoted this verse, which says God makes everything beautiful in its own time. That's very different. God can take even the bad things and in the proper season turn them around and use them for good in the way that he intends. For some of you, you're going through a season right now that's not beautiful. It's ugly. Your finances look ugly. Your health looks ugly. Your relationships, your marriage, your friendships, they look ugly. Your future looks ugly. But God will bring good out of it and can make something good out of it if you give him all the pieces of those things in your life. Number five, very quickly. What I sow in one season, I reap in another. Every farmer knows this. They can't plant in spring and harvest the next day. Oh, it would be nice if they could do that, but they can't. Just like tithing. You put your check in and God's going to respond to you. And sometimes we put money in the offering going, oh, Lord, I need $100. Here's $10. Bring me $100 this week. No, you plant in one season and you reap in another. One mom used to say, the bad habits you develop in the home and at school, they're going to carry into your marriage and into your career. And she's right. The way you respond today is going to affect your future. So if you respond correctly to the season that you're in right now, it will pay dividends in the future. See, these are the five facts that I know about the seasons of life. Now, how can I make the most out of each season in my life? How can I grow from it? And how can I develop from it? These are great questions. Do you want to know the answers to them? Do you want to know the answers to them? Turn to your neighbor and go, we're about to learn something that's very powerful. Now, turn back to them and say, you need this today. How can I become all that God wants me to be, regardless of whatever situation or season you're in? There are four questions that you need to ask yourself, no matter where you find yourself today. And you may be in a good season, I want you to apply these four questions. You may be in a season of waiting. I want you to apply these four questions. You may be in a season of grief. I want you to apply these four questions. You may be in a season of doubt. Apply these four questions. Are you getting this? Apply four questions. Here we go. Number one, what can I learn in this season of life? Always look for something you can learn in this season of life. There are some things that you can only learn through experience. It's called the school of hard knocks. Robert Frost said these things. In three words, I can sum up everything I have learned about life. You might want to write this one down. It's only three words. It goes on. It goes on. Ask anybody that's lost somebody. Life goes on. Goes on differently, but it goes on. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2 says, remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with him. You see, to understand the seasons of life that we're going to be going through for the next 8 weeks, you're going to have to understand one basic truth and put it in your mind, put it in your heart, and put it under your belt. Here it is. Life is a test. Life is preparation for eternity. What I love about the fall season is that baseball gets to the end and we watch, you know, the championship series and then the World Series. They call that the big show. Or to go from the minor leagues to in the bigger leagues, they call that getting into the big show. I got news for you. This is not the big show. This is a warm act for what's going to happen after this show. You're going to live on earth for 60 or 70 or 80 years, and then you're going to spend the rest of eternity in eternity, far more than your life on this side of death than you will see on that side of death than you will see on this side of death. And God wants us to learn, and he wants us to grow, and we've got to look for the truths. We've got to look for the principles. So the question is, what does God want to teach me in this season that I'm in? When you're going through a season, don't say, why is this happening to me? But Lord, what do you want me to learn? What is it that you want me to learn? You see, God never wastes a hurt and he never wastes a season in your life. But there are two facts about the school experience of life that I know. Number one is this, that if you flunk the test in the school of experience in life, you get to take it over. Are you learning to be patient? God will put people and situations that are irritating into your life to teach you how to be patient. Do you want a tip? Learn quicker. The second thing I know is that just about the time you've graduated, he puts you in a different class. Now that you've figured out how to be patient, let's go over to here, be kind. Oh. Remember that verse? Remember what you have learned. The problem with the Israelites in the Old Testament is that they kept forgetting what they'd learned. And so when you read in the Old Testament, when they're wandering around the desert, God just simply says, you didn't learn it this time. One more lap around the desert. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do laps around the desert. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 said, this happens so that we might learn to trust, not in ourselves, but in God. And God brings all kinds of experiences into your life, into my life, to teach us to trust him and not ourselves. Sometimes God will put us flat on our back simply so that we'll learn to look up. That's the first question. Second question is this. What can I enjoy in this season of life? Friends, the older I get, the more I hear complaining. We get together with other people and we just complain about the season we're in. Oh, woe is me. Will you pat me on the back? Woe is me. I'm in a bad season. And if we really want to understand what God wants for us to learn in this season, the second thing we have to do is we have to look at the good thing. What can I enjoy in this season of life? Some of you are always waiting to get happy. I'll get happy when the economy picks up. I'll get happy when I get the next promotion. I'll get happy when I get the next car that I've always dreamed about. Because when I get that, then I'm going to be happy. God says that we're not to wait to enjoy life. We're supposed to enjoy life now. Look at the next verse in your outline. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives. Every day is a gift from God. If the sun is shining or if it's snowing, we should enjoy it. And many times the only way to find out what we can enjoy in this particular season of life that we're in is to look at the next verse and be grateful. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. Is it God's will for you to go through a series of a season of doubt? Is it God's will for you to go through a season of loneliness, which is the one we're going to talk about next week? So bring a friend if you've got somebody who's lonely, because I got some great things that are going to help them get through this season of loneliness. Is it God's will that you go through the season of grief? The answer is yes. I'm to give thanks. What does this mean? It means we're to live in good in the bad days, the hard days, and the easy days with a sense of gratitude that God has given us the day. Philippians 4, Paul understood this. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Will you underline or circle the word whatever? What does whatever mean? Whatever comes. This is an important lesson in life that we need to learn, that life is short. Joe Lewis said this, you only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough. You see, we have the wrong time concept about this. We think that we have lots of time. I miss my son's soccer game. That's okay, I've got lots of time. I got lots of time to build into my marriage. I got lots of time to take my kids to church. I've got lots of time to make my life count. I got lots of time. You don't. Emphasis. You don't. I'm going to hire this kid. Third question. Ain't God good? What's the most important, what is most important in this season of life? Every one of us are at different seasons in our lives. Some of you are in a season where you've got little ones at home and your life is just, you just come to the end of the day and you're absolutely exhausted. This is your season. For some of you, you've got kids that have just started to drive a car. That's a different season of worry. Cheryl and I are a season of an empty nest. We're free. And it's a good time. I remember making a decision in my heart that I would only spend time with my kids in the sense that I would make time for them while they were home because they only grew up once. And I had opportunities and meetings and responsibilities that I had to deny or actually delay. Because if I did that, I would really miss giving up quality and quantity time with them. And then when they got older, I could deal with doing different things. You see, you can build a great career, you can build a large church, but if you lose your kids, you've lost it all. What does it matter if you lose your kids? It matters a lot. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. You see, as a believer in Jesus, we understand the meaning and purpose of life. It's to honor Him, it's to glorify Him, it's to be used by Him to serve other people. We understand that. Make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties these days, he says. So what's the most important thing in this season of life for you to do, learn, and enjoy? Number four, are you learning anything this morning? Number four, how can I help others in this season of life? You see, the question we need to ask ourselves is this: what good can I do through this season? You are not put on this earth, the Bible says, just to serve yourself. God has given you abilities and gifts and talents to help other people. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, you were created for a life of good works. I know. We always say when things settle down. When things settle down, I'll get baptized. When things settle down, I'll go on, take the journey course, join the church. When things settle down, I'll serve in Power Kids. When things slow down, I'll go to the men's retreat or the women's thing. When things slow down. Can I tell you something this morning? I want your permission. Can I tell you something this morning? Life never settles down. Talked to somebody after the first service. They're retired. They said, my life is fuller now than it was when I was working. He said, you're right. You're absolutely right. I always say, well, when things slow down, when things slow down, when things slow down. He said, now I got a whole new perspective on it. See, it never settles down. That's life. Look what it says in Proverbs 3. Whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. Notice it says whenever. In other words, do what you can when you can and stop waiting for perfect circumstances. Oh, that really messes up control freaks. Remember, I can spot a control freak a mile away. I can smell a control freak. You know why? I was one. I know what it's like to have everything under control. Or think I have everything under control. Oh, when it gets to be perfect, then we'll move forward. Most people are miserable in life because of two reasons. Number one, they spend all their time regretting the past and all their time worrying about the future, so they spend the present procrastinating today. And the second thing, and they never get anything done. You want to know the secret of happiness this morning? The secret of happiness is service. The secret of happiness is giving your life away and serving God and others because you were wired by God to do that. If you live for yourself, you will never be happy. Jesus said you have to lose your life to find it. What does it mean to lose your life? It means to simply give it to somebody else, to serve other people, to serve other situations. Because when I think about them, the focus is not on me. Ecclesiastes 11 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Stop waiting for things to get better. Life must be lived right now. This is the only day that you're guaranteed. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not going to be going around about doing your life in the way that you want it. God gives you an opportunity. You seize it. Get started. Now, friends, I don't pretend to know what your season of life is. I don't know what you're going through right now. But that's not important. The important thing is that God knows what season you're going through. But I know this. God has you in a season for a reason. And the question is, are you open to learning what God has for you rather than rebelling against Him? I learned a long time ago, don't fight against God, you lose. My invitation today is, are you willing to partner with God to grow in this season of life? Now, fold up your notes, close up your Bible, or your journal, whatever you have, and open up your bulletin. Pull your bulletin up. Will you pull your bulletin up? Because here's what I want you to do this morning. You've probably noticed we haven't taken up the offering yet, and some of you are just fearful. Did I miss it? Did I miss it? You haven't missed it yet. We're doing it at the end of the service on purpose. Because you see the little flap that's in your bulletin this week? Here's how I want to invite you to practically respond to God this morning. See what it says there? I encourage you to all fill out your name. If you're new here, just fill that out. In a moment, we're going to take up the offering, and I'm going to just encourage you to rip this off and put it in the offering plate. If this is your church home, I still want you to fill it out, but I want you to look a little further down. What does it say? Connect. Maybe this morning you need to forget about waiting for the right time, and maybe you just need to say, I need to start by signing up for the journey. Maybe I need to sign up for something to volunteer and just write a couple of things down there, that areas that where you think that you could volunteer, or go downstairs and just sign up for Power Kids or for youth or for other aspects of ministry that we need. In a few weeks, we have the Place of Rescue Dancers coming from the Philippines. From Cambodia with Marie Enns. And so we got to billet some kids while they're here. If you want to open up your home to be a part of that, just fill that out, let us know, and we'll contact you about that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to rip this off. You got my permission to rip this up today. Okay? Yes, Bob. Am I clear? You got it? Understand? I'm going to invite the worship team to come in a minute. I'll get the ushers to prepare themselves. Will you just take a minute or two and fill this out and rip it off? Tear it off. Do whatever you need to do. And just say yes today. That even in this season that you're in, you can serve. You can serve somebody. All right? I don't hear any tearing, or am I just deaf? Tear it off. Respond to us this way. Ushers, won't you come? Let me pray with you.